Beginning with verse 11, hear the word of God. Soon afterward, Jesus left Capernaum and went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As Jesus approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only child, a son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with compassion for her and said to her, "Do not cry." And then Jesus came forward and touched the bier, that is, the frame on which the son's body was laid, and the bearers stopped. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited God's people." This word about Jesus spread throughout the whole of Judea and all the surrounding area. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you been to New Orleans? Yeah, not New Orleans. Narlands. There's the French Quarter and the Garden District, Jackson Square and Preservation Hall. There's the National World War II Museum and the Mahalia Jackson Theater. And then there's the food. Po' boys, gumbo, crawfish etouffee, and jambalaya. And really, the only way to start your day is with a copy of the Tribune and beignets and a café au lait. Is my mic on?
There was feedback.
Nick. Sorry? Good. Okay. Thank you, Nick. And then, beside food and the many places to go and café au lait, there are the cemeteries. So many of them. They're named St. Louis and Cypress Grove, Gates of Prayer, Greenwood, Holt, and Lake Lawn. So many cemeteries take up so much space, but in a little town. And because the city lies at sea level, all the graves are in above-ground crypts, surrounded by stone statuary. In New Orleans, one of the most notable features of culture is how you get to the cemetery. You get there with jazz. The jazz funeral is unique to New Orleans, and its origins date back to Nigeria and West Africa, and it begins at church. After worship, outside, the casket is carried by family or friends or slid into a glass-sided hearse. A solemn brass band begins the procession, and the mourners walk behind, slowly, very slowly. Very slowly. A procession shuffles. They shuffle to the cemetery. You know the hymns. Can't you hear Mahalia Jackson? Just a closer walk with me. Grant it, Jesus, let it be. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, oh Lord, let it be. Arriving at the grave, The words of committal are said. The pallbearers lift the casket for burial, and then silence. Duty first comes the silence. Silence. More silence. Silence upon silence upon silence. And the silence goes on and on and on until duty.
Jazz.
Kapow. Celebration music, I mean, it splits the air. Shouts of joy, it's raised. Hoots and hollers. Glory, hallelujah. The brass lifts. Okay, who are we going to hear now? Louis Armstrong. When the saints go marching in. I mean, the festivities of Thanksgiving can start. It is the defining moment of the funeral. It's a holy moment because the past is gone. Jesus has saved. Shuffling becomes swing. A crowd struts. Umbrellas are waved. And all the while, dancing brings everyone back to life. Dancing, everything back to life. It's all tribute. Tribute and care. Honor and compassion. As we travel with Jesus today, he meets a funeral procession. A solemn, mourning people shuffling to the cemetery, searching for a closer walk with God. Dirges are wailed. Laments are moaned. And there's a shattered mother. We only know her as the widow of Nain, a devastated woman in the middle of it all, left in a man's world. It's the picture of destitution. Her future without her son's support and security, well, it's grim. Her circumstances are completely dire. She's left in total dependence upon the crowd that surrounds her. And yet, when Jesus witnesses her heartache, he has no pity nor kindness. He has no sympathy or charity. What Jesus has is compassion. Do not weep. Compassion. Do not cry. It's compassion. Let me wipe your tears. Compassion. The biblical word for compassion will surprise you. It comes from the Greek word sprachnia. I'm going to say it again. It comes from the Greek word sprachnia. And it sounds like what it means. Sprachnia literally means to have tender mercy, straight from the bowels. Sprachnia, to have loving mercy from the viscera, to have heart from the innards, compassion. Jesus' compassion is a tender mercy straight from the gut. The root of compassion comes straight from the very core of our being. You know, when the plummeting of the gut happens, when we hear really shocking news, compassion. When we witness cruelty, when we experience something so terribly unexpected that we only feel it from our insides. Jesus was sucker punched by the widow of Nain. So much so that power came forth from him. He touched the dead man's body and breath filled the dead man's lungs. Young man, I say to you, rise, awaken. Young man, I say to you, get up, dance. That's the root of Jesus' closer walk with the widow of Nain. His compassion is more than an understanding look or a sympathetic word. His consideration is more than pity. So too, for Christians, our acts of compassion must be a loving kindness in service to the broken. Our acts of compassion must be mercy in service to the shattered. And if we let our Christian worship come from our gut, then we can completely undermine the contempt and the loathing and the arrogance and the abhorrence of humanity that's happening all around us. Acts of compassion can absolutely slash through hatred and cut through fear. Acts of compassion become the indispensable way that we can rid the world of tyranny. And compassion, in the name of our servant Lord, is perhaps the only thing that can save us from ourselves. The widow of Nain doesn't ask Jesus to raise her son. She doesn't fall on her knees and beg for her son's life. All she does is weep. There are no words about gratitude or faith or praise. It's the absolute power of a mother's tears. You know, we're a church with a lot of tears, aren't we? We're moved by many things. We cry pretty easily at the baptismal font, at the table, when we enjoy partnerships with a new friend at St. Mary's in Trenton, when we embrace a refugee family, when we minister beside our siblings at Westminster and Witherspoon Street Presbyterian churches, when we experience the generosity of older adults and the determination of teens and the bravery of children, we cry. When our Lord restores a son to a widow, he restores her world. When our Lord guides the church to practice compassion, he restores our world. And that's, you know, that's what the kingdom of God does. It restores us and raises us and resurrects us. It is pure joy, and it comes from the gut. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be.